Welcome back for another episode of Blessed Is She That Believe. We're on season 3, episode 34. And I titled this, Is It a Routine or a Relationship? Before we start anything, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you, Father God, for this time. We just ask right now that you come and sup with us, Father God. We open our hearts and our minds, Father God, to you and your will, your way, Father God. Have your way on this podcast, Father God. Use your vessel. Give her the words that you need her to speak, Father God. Hide her behind the cross so others may not see or hear her, but only hear your voice, only see you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So, y'all, before we get, into the podcast, like, really into it, let's start off with the obvious. So Hurricane Helen stopped through Brunswick, this week, and, you know, just shouts out to everybody in the state of Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, like where the storm hit. I'm gonna tell you, I can already feel this is getting ready to go completely in a different opposite direction. I know that did not sound, all the words are jumbled up wrong, but that's because this is where the way it's getting ready to go. One thing that really perturbs me, and I know that's probably the wrong word for this context, but one thing that grinds my gears, gets under my skin about my hometown, is how much we complain. I love my city. Don't get me wrong. I love my city. But I feel that we complain. It's hard to complain when you don't have stuff. You could do it. But like, if you barely have anything, it's really hard to complain. You're more than likely grateful for good health and the fact that you're still alive. But it's easier for you to complain when you have everything that you need. Now, you may not have everything you want, but when you have everything you need, it's real easy to complain. And where Brunswick is situated, if you look at a map, you're not going to see Brunswick there. I'm going to tell you that right now. You might now, but we were never on a map. We were never on a map before 2015. If we are on a map, it's only because we've had so many people move in to the city. And when I say city, I use that like loose air quotes, very loose air quotes. So with the way Brunswick is situated, Brunswick is located between Savannah and Jacksonville. Okay. However, we're sitting on a shelf, like a shelf that's under the ground, you know, it's like a slope. We're sitting on a slope. So when hurricanes come through the Atlantic, they could be coming directly at us. The Lord, first and foremost, let me say, it's the Lord that has kept us and continues to keep us in spite of everything. He keeps us, okay? And he has blessed us to be here where we are because the way they have described it as far as the way the land is under the sea. Shouts out to Sebastian from The Little Mermaid. Under the sea, there's a slope. So when the hurricane comes directly at us, it takes a curve. You know what I'm saying? Like Brunswick is in the cut between Jacksonville and Savannah. Like Florida juts out and Savannah is a little out. So the hurricane, a curve, make a little skirt, turn and head north a lot of times because we're on that slope. So it doesn't come into us directly. We get hit indirectly a lot of times with like the rain bands, a little bit of wind. But like South Carolina, North Carolina always, for the most part, takes the brunt force of the hurricanes. Well, guess what? Helen ain't come through the Atlantic. Helen came through the Gulf of Mexico. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people in Georgia didn't think it was going to be as bad as it was. Helen brought the wind. You hear me? The wind was windy. The wind is what got us. There has been substantial amounts of flooding. There have been substantial amounts of, like, it's y'all. And to be honest, I have been through Hurricane Andrew when I was like in first grade kindergarten, when I lived in Miami, 20 minutes from the eye of the storm, where the eye of the storm hit. Don't ask me anything, because I was asleep. Okay. I was like in kindergarten, first grade. Like, I slept through that whole hurricane. Okay. And Andrew was like a cat five. Andrew, no hurricane topped Andrew until Katrina came through. Okay. With, as far as devastation and cost wise and stuff. But Helen, and that's the thing, we were anticipating rain. That wind took us down. The wind is what took us down. And I looked around and I'm just like, y'all, don't get me wrong, the wind was bad, but it's like the whole town crumpled and nearby towns crumpled under that too. And I'm just like, you know, I told my mom, I was like, I think I count on one finger how many times I've actually seen somebody like up in the traffic lights, you know, checking them out, monitor. Like, I know they do a lot of stuff with computer, but when I looked at the damage, these traffic lights, the little borders of the traffic lights, it looked like somebody just pinched it off. And I'm sorry, but I just feel like at this point in time in history and with our technological advances, we should have things that are more durable and able to withstand the wind of a hurricane. Like, the gas station little cover things that are over the pumps just crumpled, folded. Like, somebody just got their hand and folded. And I'm just like, we don't have anything more durable. Like, why are we still putting these things on them little sticks? We don't have nothing durable. Like, it should be something that should be able to withstand that. Like, just make cylinder blocks to hang those sign things up. You know, like, it just should be something more durable, in my opinion. But what do I know? I'm not an engineer. Definitely not an engineer. But it was crazy. And then the way these people get on social media now and complain about the power not being on, you know, like, y'all, we just went through a cat four. Well, it came, and Helen came through to us as a cat two, a category two hurricane. So I'm sitting here like, if Helen would have been a 2.53, we would have been done for. Helen ain't even had to come in at a four, a two, and she made her mark. Like, they're still trying to get people's power. My parents just got their power back. So it's like, I don't know. It's crazy. It's just, I don't even know what to say. It's crazy. Some people had to escape. Not here in Brunswick, just the pictures I've seen. Some people, the flooding was like so fast and tumultuous that they had to escape through their windows and get to their roofs. Like, they had to be rescued off their roofs. Like, and then they're saying it's another storm coming. Look. Okay. Look. Now, I'm going to try and get this out to y'all. Because, you know, episodes usually drop at midnight. I'm literally recording this a couple of hours before it drops. Like, it's almost 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's supposed to drop at midnight. So we gonna make it do what it does. I did not record it this morning because I got in late last night, y'all. I went to the class reunion thingy and I had a good time. I'm glad I went. And I'm glad I went. I hadn't seen a lot of those people in forever. And it was a blessing that we could all get together. So shouts out to the Brunswick High School class of 2004. 20 years, y'all. 20 years. successful, doing things, like, just, it was good. It was good to see everyone. But, so, routine and relationship. Well, my church, our power isn't on right now in the building, so we did not have service today. You probably sitting there like, well, why didn't you record the podcast earlier? Look, it was a lot of stuff going on today, okay? So my pastor got on live and did a devotional study talk. And, of course, I was laying in my bed. Praise God that, well, I'll get into that in a second. I'm going to hold on to that. I was laying in my bed watching my pastor, and while he was doing the mini sermon, and before that happened, I was just thinking about a lot of things. And when my pastor started preaching, well, I don't want to say preaching because he was teaching mostly. But when he was teaching, I thought about, like I said, I had a lot of stuff going on in my mind. This thing's going on. And I heard the Holy Spirit shouting, "What are you doing? Wake up." You know, like, it was like an alert almost. And I'm going to tell you, it did something to me in my spirit, because I immediately knew what was going on. I'm like completely honest, like transparency right here. A lot of times when my routine is off, I don't study like I should. I don't study the word like I should. I get lackadaisical with my prayer, with my prayers. And it's like, it's almost like I know it, but I take my time getting it together. And when I heard the Holy Spirit say that, it immediately caught my attention. And I was like, okay, it's like playtime's over. And, it really convicted me, because then I heard, you can't take days off from a relationship, because you have to then ask yourself, is it like your love for God? I'm trying to say it the way it was given to me. Your love for God, you can't take days off for that. You either love God or you don't. You have to ask yourself, are you in love with a routine? Are you in love with God? Like, do you have a routine? Is it the routine, or is it a relationship? And that thing convicted me. And I've been thinking about that all day. Been telling everybody about it all day. Because this, like, I had my class reunion thing, and I was really focused on that because, you know, I was excited, a little anxious about seeing everybody after 20 years. And it's like, okay, thinking about that, and then the hurricane came up. Like, I mean, it was like all of a sudden, it's Tuesday. My students asked me, "Cooper, are we going to be in school Thursday? Are we coming to school Thursday? Are we coming to school Wednesday?" And it's like, I don't know. I don't know, not the meteorologist. Then we find out we're not going to be in school Wednesday, not going to be in school Thursday. You know, then we out of school Friday. We were supposed to be back in school Friday because they weren't expecting that much. It was like, everybody was like, and I'm going to tell you, and I knew this was going to happen. We, for the past 2 to 3 years, around this time, a tropical storm comes up, turns into a hurricane, we're out of school, and all we get is a little bit of rain. It might flood a little bit, and that's about it. And people complain about that. People get mad about it. Oh, we took a whole day. Kids missed school. We could have been in school. Blah, 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 whoop de woo. Okay? And I was like, y'all, let me tell you something. When it comes to hurricanes and stuff, I'll be playing around with that. I'm not going to listen. You can complain about why. It's like, so y'all are complaining because the Lord kept us safe. Y'all are complaining because the Lord, his infinite grace and mercy kept us and protected us from having to go through the devastation of a storm. And y'all complaining about that because we didn't get more than what we got. Who complains about not getting more than what you got? It's like, I'm so serious. So this time everybody was kind of like, oh, you know, we'll get some water, you know, whatever. No. Yesterday I rode through Lowe's parking lot. Everybody getting a generator. Everybody's getting everything. Like, is because our expectation for the storm did not match the preparation for the storm. Let me write that one down. Our expectation. I'm seriously writing this down, y'all. For the storm did not match our preparation for the storm. Our expectation for the storm did not match our preparation for the storm. So we got caught off guard. The saying goes, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. And yeah, people trying to get ready after the fact. But anyway, routine and relationship. And I had to think about, how many times have I been on summer break, just any holiday break, and because I sleep in, whenever I wake up, I just go ahead and start my day, and it's like, well, I'm going to be home all day, so I could just read my Bible whenever. And to be honest, it's like, I had to see it for myself. The reason why I keep taking long pauses is because I'm still processing this. Like, I had to see this for myself today because I thought about it. I said, I take more precaution when I know I'm going out into the world because I know I'm going to be dealing with people like one-on-one. Like, being a teacher, you're going to run into all kind of people all day. You know what I'm saying? So I make sure I pray. I make sure I'm reading my word and studying because I'm going to need to pull. But when I'm home chilling, it's like I put my feet up. I stay in the bed if I want to. And it's like, to me, for me, when I'm by myself, that's the most dangerous time. I don't know about y'all, but that's the most dangerous time there is for me because it's just me and my thoughts. And a lot of times, them thoughts, they ain't right. They're not right. It's the enemy coming in, throwing stuff in there. Then it's just me thinking. And it's like, okay, so where's the God? To be honest, when I'm home by myself is when I need to be spending the most time in prayer and read my word. Loading up, re-upping on my arsenal in the spirit. You know what I'm saying? Because that's when your mind is under attack the most because you're not in a routine. I realize that when I have a routine going, my mind is on track because I have things I have to do. When I don't have a routine, that's when my mind is the most dangerous because I'm entertaining thoughts I don't need to be entertaining. I'm saying stuff to myself that I don't need to be saying negative things, you know, beating myself up over stuff that happened in the past, reliving the past. It's crazy. And I had to stop one time. I said, what are you thinking about? What is this? What? It's just a free fall jamboree in here? Like, what? What is happening? Like, how many times do you do that? When you're at home or when you're on vacation, you know, your mind just on a free fall. And it's like, we can't do that with God anymore. At this point in time in history, we cannot do that with God anymore. Is God a routine for you, or is he a relationship? Like, are you in a relationship with God or a routine with God? It's one or the other. Because you can't have both. And I realized, like, we're creatures of habit. We are creatures of habit. And when your routine is off, I'm pretty sure other stuff gets thrown off too. Like today, I made myself, I said, no, we're going to get up and we're going to clean this house. We're going to take care of stuff. And you know what? I functioned like that. But I also started my day with prayer. I started my day with reading the word and saying the scriptures out loud and praying. I started my day like that. So when I start my day like that, my life has purpose. It has meaning. It's like I have stuff to do. You know, when I just lay in bed and I'm like I'm a melted quesadilla or something like that, just laying around and I don't read, I don't study. It's like, what is your purpose? What is your function? What are you supposed to be doing? I don't know. See, the word of God directed my path. So therefore, I had purpose. I had intentions on what I was doing and stuff. When you don't do that, when you don't start your day with God, when you don't spend that time with the one you're supposed to be in a relationship with, your day is off. I guarantee you it's off. I don't care if you do stay at home. Like, I'm telling y'all, like this, man, that's what the word says in Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. You can't depart from it. Depart, deviate from. And I'm going to tell you, when I was in college, y'all, when I went off to school, I was driving home every weekend. When I had a car, when I finally got a car, when I moved off to Savannah to Armstrong, I was driving home every weekend because I, you know, at that time, I was the person to do the PowerPoints for praise and worship and stuff. So I was like, okay. I'm so serious. I was driving home every weekend to do that. And then after a while, I say, you know what? I'm not going home. Why I keep driving home every weekend? What's the purpose of doing that? Y'all, I was going to the club and then driving. It's not funny, but I was going to the club and then driving home after the club. Sometimes we didn't get in until like 5-6 o'clock in the morning. I ain't have time for no nap. I take a shower, find something to wear for church, and head on home. Be smelling like smoke and everything. One time, I remember I drove all the way home to go to church. I smelled like an ashtray. I didn't smoke. It's just that everybody in the club did. I smelled like an ashtray. I said, I cannot be here smelling like this. I said, I'm going to go home and wash my hair. Like, I seriously, it was bad. And after that, I was just like, I'm not going home. I'm going to just stay up here. Because in my mind, I was like, it was funny because I didn't know what I was going to do after graduation. And that's actually really funny. Like, high school graduation, I didn't know what I was going to do after graduation. And when I was working on my bachelor's degree, I didn't know what I was going to do after graduation. I'm just like, I know I'm going to be a teacher, but I don't know where. You know, like, I had no direction on where I was going. But what I said to myself was, you know, I only have a year of school left. After that, I'm probably going to end up moving back home and I'll be in church for the rest of my life. Let me just have this year to just do whatever I wanted to. Y'all, I thank the Lord for his grace. Like, I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because what was I thinking? Like, I really said that to myself. Like, I'm going to be in church for the rest of my life. I have been in church all the way up until this point. I think I'm going to take me a break from church and just not go and see what that's like. And you know what? I'm glad I had that experience because what I found out is I can't. I just can't. I have to be in fellowship with people. And I have to be, and I'm going to tell you the truth. That year that I did not go to church, I remember every Sunday I would wake up. It was like, I finally understood why people enjoy Sundays. And it was like, Sunday really is peaceful. Like, it's different than Saturday. I can't even put it into words what I would feel on Sunday mornings. But all I can say is that now looking back, that was the Lord. That was the Lord just trying to get me to see, like, you can't go nowhere. You can't go anywhere, you know. And I did try to go to church in Savannah, but I just couldn't find a church that felt like home. Cause I'm like, I know what it's like at my church home, and I can't find that here. I can't find what I'm looking for. So because I couldn't find what I was looking for, and I mean, I did give it a valiant effort. I went to like 2, 3, 4 churches, and I just couldn't. I mean, I even went to a church that the pastor actually preached in my church. I found his church and went one time, and I was just like, nah, this ain't it. This ain't it. No shade at him or anything like that. It's just, it wasn't for me. But I tried, and after a while I was just like, you know what, I'm gonna be in church for the rest of my life. So, and it's funny that I already knew that. That's the funny part. I already knew I was like, I'm gonna be in church for the rest of my life. But yeah, I didn't have a relationship with the Lord. I had a routine. My routine is I get up on Sundays and go to church. But I did not have a relationship with the Lord. Not at that time. I thought I did. I love Jesus, but I was fornicating with my boyfriend. You know, I was saying stuff I ain't had no business saying. You know, and look, I was like, well, I ain't as bad as the next person. Okay, yeah, it doesn't matter. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So, like, doing stuff that and to be honest, compared to other people, probably wasn't as bad, but it doesn't matter. Sin is sin. So, I just didn't have a relationship with the Lord. And it was a routine. And a lot of people are in church because of routine. That's what they're used to doing. Their grandma and them used to make them go to church every Sunday. So that's why they're in church now. They don't have a relationship with the Lord. Having a relationship with the Lord is forsaking all others. Those wedding vows, you might as well, like, you're literally saying those to the Lord. And forsaking all others, that means you're not going to make anything else an idol. You're not going to put anything before him. That's a relationship with him. That's the relationship. The relationship is when the first thing that you think of when you wake up in the morning, is it God? Is it praise to him? Are you glorifying his name? Or are you automatically thinking about what your stock market portfolio look like? Are you thinking about, oh, I need to check my phone to check these notifications, see if anybody messaged me while I was asleep? Like, what are you thinking about? And it's like, I'm not condemning you or anything if those are your thoughts. It's just, how often do you wake up during the week and the Lord is the first thing on your mind? And I am guilty of that. I really am. The first thing I reach for is my cell phone. I actually, when I get off this podcast, I need to go to Amazon and get one of them alarm clocks that look like the sunrise and wake up that way. Because seriously, the phone, I got to stop. Because now it's like, why? Stop checking that phone. Stop checking the phone. So, and it's hard because you get in a routine. I'm telling you, you get in a routine. And I can't even emphasize it enough. Like, oh man, the time is coming where we're going to see those who have a relationship versus those who have a routine. And the time is now. Like, it's been time to break out of that routine and develop a relationship with Jesus. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I highly, 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 highly encourage you to find the Lord, to seek his face, admit that you are a sinner, believe that he was raised from the dead, and confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all. Like, I highly encourage you to make that confession, because that's the only way you're going to be saved. Like, the days are short. The days are short. We don't have time. And it's a scripture that says, I can't remember it word for word, but it basically says our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And it's like, it really is. Jesus is getting ready to crack that sky. You know what I'm saying? Like, and those who have a relationship with him, those are the ones, like, you're going to definitely know. You're going to definitely know those who have a relationship with Jesus Christ versus those who have a routine. Those who just go to church because it's Sunday. Those who go to church because that's what their mom and them did. Those who go to church because it's Easter program or Christmas program. You're going to definitely be able to tell. And it's not like, you're going to be able to tell by how they carry themselves, how they conduct themselves out in public. You're going to be able to tell. Because first of all, let's talk about this. People getting crazy out here. People getting crazy out here. They were already crazy, but they're getting crazier, I'll say. And with all of that, the crazier, it's like you're going to start seeing people that you know for a fact they've been going to church for 30 something years. You're going to start seeing them act out. They about to start acting up. And it's like, so, whoa. Because you see them one way and now they starting to show their behind in public. So it's like, so you've been like this the whole time? You really been like this the whole time, but you was sitting up in church doing, it's about to be a common occurrence to the fact, to the place where a lot of people, which a lot of people are already saying they don't want to go to church because it's a bunch of hypocrites, but it's going to be to the point where these people that you've seen in church for 20, 30 years, when they start acting up, it can be to the point where people will walk away. Even those who have been in the church, who have a relationship with the Lord, is going to be devastating. But that's why our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. We got to have a hope that is anchored, which Hebrews 6 and 19 speaks about that. We have a hope that's anchored. And the thing is, no matter how much the ship is tossed in a storm, when that anchor is held, and when that anchor is locked in, that ship ain't going nowhere. The ship ain't going nowhere. But the anchor has to be locked in to the right foundation. It's got to be in Jesus. He's our anchor. He's our strength. He's steadfast. He's unmovable. You know, like, I can't even, but I will say this. The people that we saw going to church for all those years, the vets, I'll say, that we just knew they were going to heaven, and not saying, I'm not trying to, you know, put people in heaven and put people in hell. I'm not doing all that. But what I'm saying is we thought they were untouchable. And no, we're not supposed to put people on pedestals and stuff like that. It's human nature, I'll say, to when you see somebody doing the same thing over and over again, you're just like, okay, that's that person. That's what you do. So you've seen these people going to church for 20 or 30 years. You just naturally assume, okay, they got it together. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. Nope. You're going to see them act out in public. And it's going to make you want to turn away from God. But that's why God during this time, he's raising up people who would be the least likely, people you wouldn't even expect to have a voice. He's using their voice, and it's going to draw the people back who got discouraged because of what they saw in the church. It's going to draw them back in, because they're going to have the people that God is raising up. They're going to have a voice of, I can't think of the word, but as I can see it, they can, the people who set the discouragement because of their actions, the people that God is raising up with the unlikely voices during this time, he's going to give them words to speak to comfort those who are discouraged. And they're going to, he's going to use them to draw in those who felt like outcasts, the people who felt like they didn't have a place in church. They're going to walk out of the drugs and the alcohol and homosexuality and depression and bipolar manic depression. They're going to walk out of trafficking. They're going to walk out of abandonment. They're going to walk out of rejection. They're going to walk out of it because God is raising these people up for this time. They're going to walk out of dark places, places that they didn't even know they were going to be able to come out of, places where they thought they were going to die. They're going to walk out of those places because God is using the voices of those who were the outcasts, the voices of those who don't look like they should be preaching. He's bringing them to the forefront. He's bringing all of these people to the forefront, and they're going to lead these people to Christ. And a lot of the people who have been in churches for 20 or 30 years, they're going to have to either step aside, or God is going to sit them down. That's literally like, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. They're going to have to step aside, or God is going to have to sit them down, because they are holding on to the routine. They're holding on to the tradition. They're holding on to their programming instead of having a relationship. Anybody who's ever been in a relationship knows the relationship fluctuates. The relationship, because you grow. You're supposed to grow. Sometimes one person outgrows the other. And that's where you see you have an unequally yoked relationship. But what's supposed to happen is you have two people who are equally yoked, and they both grow together as they grow towards Christ. That's what's supposed to happen. But either way, there is some growth. So therefore, the relationship can't stay the same. It has to mature. It has to. And if it doesn't, then we got a problem. So if you try to keep things the same and you don't want things to change, then you're the problem. Because I'm sorry, like when I look around and I see all the different colors, I see people of different hues, it tells me that my Heavenly Father likes variety. If he didn't like variety, he would have made us all the same. He wouldn't allow us to have free will. We would all think the same. So it tells me that he likes variety. That's what I believe. He likes different things. If he didn't like different things, we have the same sunset and sunrise every day. I'm sorry, but I love looking at the sky. I love looking at the stars. I love looking at the heavens. I love it. And every time I look at the sunrise or the sunset, it's different every single day. So why would we think that holding tight to a schedule for Sunday service is okay with God? We're sitting here wondering why we don't see signs and miracles and wonders. It's because we're trying to box God in. Oh no, God, you can show up between 10 o'clock and 10:15, but after that, you got to go sit down somewhere now. Because we got to stick to this program. We got to stick to this schedule. That's not a relationship. That's a routine. See, it's just so... It's so much. It's so much here. And it's like... I feel like for a lot of people, the routine is going to send you to hell. The routine is going to send you to hell. Don't get me wrong. The Bible says do things decently and in order. There can be, we're not supposed to have schisms in the body. I'm not saying you're supposed to be all willy-nilly talking about it's the Holy Spirit. Just like some people saying they call it the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit don't make you take out the whole choir section now. That ain't right. Holy Spirit ain't gonna have you running into people and knocking them down and tripping over them. That's confusion. No. What I'm saying is you value a schedule or a routine over your relationship. You put the schedule or the routine or the program over your relationship with Jesus. That means you're idol worshiping. So you have to ask yourself when you wake up in the morning. Because see, it happened to me too. It happened to me. That's why the little post that I would make for Instagram in the mornings with the scripture, that became a routine to me. That was part of my morning routine. I would wake up, I read some word, but I wasn't really reading a word to contemplate on it and reflect on it. I was reading the word to find scripture so I could post. And you know what? For a time, the Lord graced me to do that. But after a while, the Lord said, stop doing that. Because you're not really spending time with me. You're reading the word to find a scripture so you could post it. That's not what this time is for. So I stopped. Then I was doing the little videos, the little reels, but it got to be too much. It was like, okay, I'm having to get completely ready. Make sure I have everything together and stuff like that. And then I sit down and I say, you know, da 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 da. And then I posted a TikTok. It takes time and da-da. Holy Spirit is a stop. Okay. If you're wearing yourself out, then I can't use you. You know? So the podcast, this is the only constant. This, because it's like, this is the only constant. And it's like, it's more, for me, it's more worship. Because I can't just, oh, this is what I'm talking about. No, a lot of stuff for the past couple of weeks is stuff that I have lived through. And the Holy Spirit is like, use that. That's the podcast. Like this morning, this is a routine or a relationship. Holy Spirit was like, that's what you're talking about on the podcast today. Okay. And I love it that way. Because I know for a fact that when the Holy Spirit says that, that means it's for somebody who is listening. It's not something that I have put together myself. Because if you leave it up to me, I don't know what I'm doing. So this is what the Holy Spirit wanted for somebody. Maybe it is for me. And a lot of this stuff is for me. Like I said, he dealt with me about this morning. So before I get on here, he has already dealt with me. I've already got my hand popped, okay? Before I bring it to you. So let's just get that there. So it's like, you got to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit when it comes to things like this. Because, like I said, we're creatures of habit. And we'll just get so caught in a routine. We won't think anything about it. We'll just, okay, I got to do this, I got to do that. And then we turn God into a checkbox that we got to check off. I spent time with God, check. I read my Bible, check. I prayed, check. He doesn't want that. Do we do that? Do you do that in a relationship? Okay. I text babe, good morning, so check. I gave babe a kiss on the cheek, check. I took babe, we went to dinner, check. So we had our date night for the week, check. Like, do we do that? No, we don't. We let things flow. We just let it flow and we just go with it. Why can't we do that with the Lord? Because we want to be in control. Okay, we're gonna park it right here because we want to be in control. Because see, it's funny, I was when I was waiting for my computer to load, because y'all know this computer, praise God for this laptop, but I was waiting for the tabs to come up and, you know, get everything. So I turned my TV on in my office, put it on YouTube, and I turned it to Maverick City. I let the song Refiner play. That song still, let me tell you something. I miss the old Maverick City when they had songs like Refiner. Refiner. I want to be close to you. I want to be tried by fire. Purified. You take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. Let me stop right there. Okay. See. Oof. You don't know what you're saying. We'll sing those songs and we don't mean them. We're lying to God. You know, take whatever you desire. We don't want God to take whatever he desires. We want to give God what we think he desires. What we think he wants to desire from us. And then when we give it to him, we want to give him a crumb. Now, here you go, God. Like, that's a lot. Give him one scoop. No, he wants all of it. He wants everything. You know how many worship songs there are about giving him everything? And we just sing those songs lying. We don't want God to have everything. But in a relationship, how much of yourself do you give? How much of yourself do you give in a relationship to your spouse if you're married? You show up every day with 50% or 45%? You show up with 30%? Oh, okay. No, you show up 100%. You might have your days when you show up at 80 or 70. You know, you ain't gonna show up at 100 every day. But you give it your all. If you want a successful marriage, it's work. So you put in the work. So that takes a lot of effort, right? Right. So when God wants your all, he wants all. He wants it all today, like Forever Jones says. He wants it all today. Why do we always want to give him 25%? We only want to give him 25%, but he wants it all. He wants the whole 100. But we only want to give him 20%. Okay. So is it a relationship if you're only showing up at 20%? You're only giving him your 20%. He gives us all. He gave us his son. Ooh, that's good. That's good. We cooking with Crisco, as my coworker would say. He gave us his son, Jesus. Jesus gave it all. He gave his life for us. But we only want to put in 20%. Like we playing poker. Oh, I'm going to put in 10. No. You got to go all in. If you want the relationship with Jesus, you got to go all in. You can't just say, I'm going to show up today, I think. I don't know. No, you got to go all in. It's all or nothing. When it comes to having a relationship with Jesus, it's all or nothing. You got to give it. You got to give him your I got to get off of here. I'm not doing this with y'all today. I'm not doing this with y'all. Not doing it. Ooh. So do you have a routine or do you have a relationship with the Lord? That's the question. Pay attention to how you move this week. And when I say pay attention to how you move this week, what I'm saying is pay attention to how you start your day. Are you starting your day on a routine or are you saying, you know what, Lord, however you want to meet me today, I'm fine with it. I'm open to it. However you want to show up for me today, I'm open to it. Sometimes just walk around your house and read scriptures out the Bible. Sometimes just sing praises, literally sing worship songs to the Lord. Sometimes just pray. Just pray what's on your heart. Sometimes just talk to the Lord. Journal. A lot of times I journal. I get everything out when I journal. And then I pray over it. You showing up every morning for the Lord, it doesn't have to be the same way every day. He doesn't bless us the same way every single time. When we praying for something, he doesn't come the same way every single time. No. So think about that this week. Whew. All right, y'all. I hope y'all have a great week. Like I said, y'all be praying for us down here in the South because we got hit pretty bad by those hurricanes. By that hurricane, excuse me. We have a couple of hurricanes out in the ocean. Don't know where they're going. I think one of them is supposed to follow the path of Helen. So just keep us in your prayers. We appreciate your prayers down here in the South. I hope y'all have a great week, like I said, and I will talk to y'all later. Bye.